You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
I saw that little piggy flying past you because I'm on time, and the only way I'd be on time if there was pigs flying. So I saw one.
Did you hear me scream? Because like, I'm trying to close this door, this stupid cat. It's like poking her hand through it, opening the door.
Oh my God. Cats are little humans.
They are. Like, they are completely, like, annoying.
You know what? I had a cat. We got a cat when I was a kid. It was a black cat, like black and beautiful, shiny coat. So I named it Popcorn, you know, because that's the opposite. It's so white.
Sure.
Popcorn's so white. We didn't have it long because my parents, like, from the kitty litter to saying that we were going to clean it up, and we didn't really, you know, we didn't know how to take care of a pet. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to find a home that someone will take care of it.
Well, there you go.
God, like the finality of it. Like, I don't know. I'm 8 or 10, however old I was. I don't know how to take care of it. Sure, I'll take care of a cat. You know, before we get started, we always tell our listeners, hey, if there's anything you want us to talk about, or if you want to correct us in anything. So last week, you and I had a really robust discussion around Ozempic.
Yes, yes.
Yes, my sister, again, clinical dietitian, works in intuitive eating, has clients that deal with eating issues, and she sent me a couple messages that she wanted me to share in regards to that Ozempic call, because I think it's important from her perspective. She was talking about how, I think it's called like a, I don't know the exact word for it, but it's called like a semaglutide, which is a thing in which is in Ozempic, right? So her thought process is, doctors really don't talk about the possible side effects, like from vision changes to pounding heartbeats, to thyroid tumors, to gallbladder issues, to kidney problems, to stomach flu. She said, that's just to name a few. Wow. So she said, you know, big pharma knows how to take your money and doesn't really care about your health. And she said that you have to stay on that weight loss medication for the rest of your life in order for the weight to stay up. The expense is outrageous to just be thin when it has nothing to do with your health. So being thin doesn't equate health, even though society has done that to us. She said it's a multi-billion dollar industry, what I said on the podcast last week, and that doctors are prescribing it without telling anyone what the possible consequences are. And they're only prescribing it so that the patient can be in an ideal, and that's in quotes, thinner body. It's disgusting. So continuing to feed into the ideal. We are continuing to teach our children that in order to be accepted, you have to be thin. And I don't blame the parent that's doing it. I blame society as a whole. And it's important for the parent to reach out and educate themselves of what is happening. She said, it's really sad that an eating disorder, a boy or a girl, are the number one eating disorders, I believe, are the number one, if not number two, cause of death in psychologically related illnesses. That's a problem. Having extra meat on your bones is not the problem. Mic drop. You're on mute. You're probably yelling at your cat.
Sorry, because you know what? Because there's a leak blower.
I can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
Nope.
Okay, good. Because it's like right, it's like the leak is going right in my ear. It's so loud. So that's really good. Like, I'm glad she provided that balance, right? Because like you said, or like she said, it's promoting something, but it's not promoting health.
Nope.
That's really interesting because it is widespread. Like
widespread. It's right? Not, and it's nonstop.
Yes, and I think like we mentioned last week, there is the official brand name Ozempic, but there are other ones being advertised on TV too now. Like, I don't even know the names, but there are other ones being advertised.
Yeah. And so when she was talking to me about it, she's like, her first, she listens in the morning on her way to work. So she works at a state prison. She works in the kitchen there. And she said the first text message I got at 4:30 in the morning, now I'm an early riser, said, I hate Myron's doctor. because remember you said that was her first, that's the first thing I see at 4:30 in the morning. She said, because the first thing that she said was like, if you want a shot, now you don't know what that shot is, but we can all kind of allude to what she meant by that. And the fact that it was so easy for her to say. And that is just a common theme that when people go to the doctor, the end result is because most doctors don't really take nutrition and understand the intuitive eating aspect of it. They are all clinical. So anytime there's clinical, you're usually assigning some sort of drug to negate what that clinical issue is.
Yes, that's a great point. Like, it was so early in the conversation, right? Just, it just came up. But you know, like, a whole other aspect to that is the doctor said, well, you know, you can ride a bike. And I thought, you know, like, I could buy a bike, but how many people just see a doctor? You can't just buy a bike.
You can't just, like, that's a privilege to
that's
be able
a privilege,
to,
right? Well, yes. So you can swim. Well, you know what? I don't have a pool, and most people do not. And most people do not have a gym membership where there's a pool, a gym membership, period, and a gym membership. Like, it is such a privileged life that some medical providers have to just willy-nilly throw out stuff like that.
Yeah, like eat better. Well, I live in a very remote area with limited access to groceries. I have to commute for, you know, 30 miles. I don't live next to a Whole Foods. It's that thought process that leads us into, you said the infant mortality rate or women, pregnant women mortality rate is super high in Black women. It's the same when you think about how you go to inner city neighborhoods that you classically, I mean, as a blanket statement, you can find fast food, you can find a 7-Eleven, and you can find like get paid early centers, you know, cash, get cash advance. It is legitimately a privilege for you and I to be able to walk down and have access to some fresh fruits and vegetables.
That is
a privilege.
It is. It's a big deal. And that's why you see, like, in some cities, a community garden and, you know, a co-op, people get together and do those kind of things to have fruits and vegetables. Because if you go to a grocery store, if you can get to a grocery store, right, and if it's a mainline grocery store, the Bel Airs and Safeways and those kind, there'll be fruits and vegetables. But most of those stores aren't in densely urban communities. They're just not.
Yes.
And so then you're left with sort of type, like, aftermarket type of stores, like Food Mart and food, those kind of places where they will have fruits and vegetables, but they're not always the freshest.
Nope.
Right. And they're priced more. So I saw an advertisement the other day. We talked about this before. I saw an advertisement the other day for, I think it was Burger King. Like, and it was, you know, two type of sandwiches, you know, burger and chicken or something like that, drink and fries or some type of like dessert item, sweet item. It was $5.
Fuck.
It was $5. And if you're on a limited income and you got a kid or two, and you're paycheck to paycheck, but you're always behind, you know, it you can't, like, I cannot sit in judgment of someone saying, I'm going to feed this family on $5, you know, tonight, or $10, versus going to, you know, Safeway, you know, if you even get to a Safeway and your vegetables are, you know, you get some vegetables and that's $15, $20. And that doesn't, you know, if your family eats meat or protein and there's none of that, it just, it's not as simple as saying eat better, right?
No, and you just mentioned something that I got educated on, of course, by my sister, when I said I was in Walmart and I was just purchasing some things, maybe some like Epsom salt or something. Mm. And I said to her, like, God, the people in front of me had Fanta and pizza pockets and pizza rolls. And she said, that's probably all they could afford. And I don't know if my privilege, of course, in that moment, my privilege was, I was blinded because of my privilege. I was like, you're at Walmart, like, go to the section that has some fresh fruits and vegetables. In my mind, I started judging them. And she said, you have no idea what they can afford, what they're able to provide, if they have, how big their family is. I mean, who is that for? Are they donating that food to somebody? Like, you have no idea. And to make that sort of food judgment, that was quite a few years ago. And it really opened my eyes to the thought that, damn, like, here I am judging somebody for having pizza rolls, but the pizza rolls are $2 and a whole, and a chicken is like 10. So it's crazy when you think about that.
Those two burgers at Burger King, it just is crazy. And I was thinking about, because I saw someone said, but you know, when they were little in the 70s, you could buy a bigger meal with, you know, food and stuff. And I thought back and thought, no, we were poor in the 70s. And I recall my mother sending my brothers and I to the store to get some egg noodles and canned tuna and frozen peas. And she would make tuna casserole.
Yeah.
Right. And I will not eat that to this day. Like, I will not eat that because it was so, we ate it so often. Because now that I look back on it, because you could get a can of tuna for like 30 cents and a bag of noodles for under $1 and
some frozen peas was like 30 cents.
Exactly. And it was three boys. And then until my little sister came, it was four of us. You could just make a meal out of that and it cost virtually nothing.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. We were poor and that's what we could buy. Cause then if she got a little extra money, you know, we ate TV dinners. It's no different than fast food today. Cause she could get five TV dinners for like $5.
Yeah. Swanson's.
Right. You could get that stuff. And you know, you, like you say, I can look back and I go, that stuff was absolute crap. I mean, I loved it as a kid. But it was crap. But you know what? That's what we could afford.
That's all we get, that to stay alive, right? To put something. Ours was macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. So hot dogs and then canned mushrooms.
I know you had a fried bologna sandwich.
We had pickles wrapped in bologna.
Oh God!
That was a snack. That was a treat. I remember one time. My sister and I, we snuck some food into the bedroom and it was a pickle wrapped in bologna. And my dad came into the bedroom and he's like, I smell onions. And we're like, you know, pretending we're smelling. We're like, we don't smell that. Here we are having pickles and bologna wrapped underneath our bed sheets trying to eat.
Good
my
God.
God. So I thought it was a good opener to the show because we always say, hey, correct us if we're wrong. Give us something a topic that you want to hear our opinions on. And my sister is so passionate about this topic that I thought it was very necessary to come on and give her perspective.
I think that's good because we don't want to be irresponsible and just say this is good or this is bad and trying not to be judgy. But it is really good to hear an opinion that has more science and education behind it.
Yes.
You know, because like we were talking about, there are a lot of famous people out there who just slimmed down all of a sudden. And your sister Kelly brings up a good point that if most of them will have to do that for the rest of their lives to stay like that.
Yep. Yep. Your body will always end up where it's meant to be. Like, no matter what you do.
Do you remember years ago, we worked with some people who, a couple of women who were getting stomach surgery.
Like liposuction and stuff like
no,
that?
No, it was one where you get a smaller stomach to lose
tummy
weight.
Tummy tuck.
And
oh, no. The gastric bypass.
Gastric bypass. Okay. Remember, all the rage?
Yes.
And we worked with a couple of ladies who, I guess they had it planned and scheduled and everything. And in the months leading up to that, I remember one, or maybe both of them, saying something to the effect, in paraphrase, I can eat all I want until that surgery because I'm going to have that surgery now.
Sir, I used to say that before going to my Weight Watchers. So I would go to plan to myself that I'm going to go to Weight Watchers and I would binge all the food I can, weigh my heaviest, and then I'd do really good for the week. And after I weighed in at Weight Watchers, I'd go binge again.
Oh, that's interesting. So lying to yourself, but it's looking good to the Weight Watchers people.
To the scale. Yep. Like,
To
oh,
the
wow, you lost a
scale.
pound and a half this week. And then I'd leave that meeting and go get three orders of French fries at McDonald's.
Oh,
See the vicious cycle of
it's a
that when you think
cycle.
about that.
It is a cycle. So yeah,
Crazy.
I'm glad your sister gave us that feedback. That
Yeah.
is not it, like anything else in Hollywood. It is not as easy as they make it appear.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Right.
Ain't that the truth?
It's just not that easy. Yes.
And I wish people in Hollywood would be a little more open. You know, let me tell you, I don't know if you've seen Demi Moore lately, but I will tell you, whoever her doctor is spectacular. She
Yes.
looks, I mean, I am talking this, her skin, she glows, her face. But like, I wish she would just come out and say, I got a facelift, I got some like laser treatment on my chest and my neck, and here's my doctor.
Sir, I don't know why no one does that. Like,
I don't know either.
right?
Okay, I found
The
this on
poor
the web for
doctor.
it.
Right? Like,
The
if I were a, I don't know what those doctors are called, like those sculpture doctors that do the face, they do like the full
cosmetic
body
surgeon. Yep.
cosmetic. If I was a cosmetic surgeon and to the stars, I go, look, I will hook you up. I will make you look 35 again, Demi Moore, who's 60, 62, 65, or whatever she is. And I want you to advertise it. I want you to help my business.
Yeah, I'll even give it to you for free.
Yes. Like, why? You see these celebrities, and I think I just cracked this joke this past week. Ozempic should rename itself to Diet and Exercise. Because everyone you asked, hey, how'd you lose weight? Diet and Exercise.
If you already asked them that a year ago, they would say, right now I'm just dieting and exercising. There's no quick fix.
Right. Like, what happened in the last 3 months all of a sudden?
Demi Moore, you did not just put some Botox in, a little bit of filler,
No.
and got laser treatments.
No. No
There,
way.
every cosmetic surgeon will tell you there's a certain point in which you need a facelift. I'm sorry to say it. This is the point. It's not going to fix your jowls or your turkey neck. You have to have surgery. Like, so I don't know who you think you're kidding.
Right. Yeah, her face looks, I mean, she looks 35 again.
35. And I'm
Right.
talking, it doesn't look like she had cosmetic surgery. That's how good the work is.
That's how good the work is. It really is good. And you know, I was looking at, because what's the Kardashian name that O.J. Simpson's
Chloe?
daughter, that one.
Chloe, oh, O.J. Simpson's daughter. I see what you did there. Chloe or Courtney.
Courtney, yeah, I don't know. I don't look. I was just making a joke. I don't know. Just for disclaimer, I don't know if she's O.J. Simpson's daughter, but I just saw that online with it. I thought it was funny, but her face has been completely remade,
Her
right?
son looks like how Chloe Kardashian or Courtney Kardashian looked before her surgeries.
That is amazing. Like, I saw a comparison with her before and after, and she just looked like she looked, just. Cheeks, nose, brow, chin, this whole little deal. Then you go, okay, well, she just looks like a person, right? Not like a supermodel or anything, just look like a person. And then her new face, now granted, her new face also had makeup, so it was a glam shot, so it was a little different. But if you didn't know if that one that these were the same people, I don't think 99% of people on the planet would know, could point that out, that these two women were the same person based on the face. Like,
That's so
that
incredible.
reconstructive surgery was that deep and comprehensive.
I can't, you don't hear a lot about men having surgery. I mean, we know Brad Pitt's had surgery recently. Again, him and Demi Moore must be going to the same doctor. It's interesting to see that these conversations only come up, really are called out for women,
That's
right?
un and
Because
it's unfair. Yeah, it's unfair.
yeah, like Brad Pitt, I don't know if he'll ever come out and say he had a facelift, but that he had something, like without a doubt. So I know we talk about these celebrities and we have a little fun doing that. Last week we spent some time on the Ozempic train. So
Yes.
cause and we saw some celebrities at Super Bowl this past weekend.
Yes. Oh, so let's talk Super Bowl.
God damn. Okay, so at work, they asked us what do you who do you think is going to win and what do you think the score is going to be?
Okay.
Let me just tell you, I said Chiefs 24-21, and
That's
they
it.
won 25-22.
Sir, I had them 27-23. Like,
Dang.
we're both right there.
So good. I mean, I'm glad that I'm so happy that Taylor Swift won.
She did. She made the MAGA people mad.
So mad. You know what bothers me is that men are talking so negatively about Taylor Swift when they have daughters.
Isn't that something?
Like,
It
I just
just,
don't get that.
you know what? Look, I truly don't like the commissioner of the NFL, this Roger Goodell guy, but he was asked a question during his press conference before the Super Bowl, and he said something that I really like. They asked him about Taylor Swift. The whole little deal. He said, "Look, we love welcoming in new fans, and Taylor Swift is bringing new fans, and so we welcome Taylor Swift." And it was just very simple. I thought, you know what? That's all you have to say,
That's perfect.
right? That's all you have to say. And you're right. These guys have daughters that hear this, and you know what? If she has hundreds of millions of fans, or however many she has, and like last year, Rihanna brought people to the Super Bowl, and hell, Usher brought people to the Super Bowl. Like, what is the big deal? It's a national spectacle, and it's like our one, besides New Year's, our one national party. It's just a party,
Just a party.
right? It's just a party. It's a stupid
Costs a
football
lot to
game,
get in.
right? Like, most people can, except the diehard football fans, most people can't even tell you who won last year's Super Bowl. Well, we know it's the Chiefs because they've been talking about it, but that stuff gets lost in history. What we remember is, all the crap, like Taylor Swift, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem, Prince doing it in the rain. You just have all these little scenes and stuff. Left Shark when Katy Perry was there. It's just random stuff. So the way these guys are talking about Taylor Swift, it's
Appalling.
baffling. Like, you're
Yeah.
just a loser. You're a
A
loser,
loser.
right? Look, and you know what, sir? Look, mid-season, the Kansas City Chiefs were in a slump. They lost some games. They weren't playing well. And look, it wasn't just random football fans. Kansas City Chiefs fans were actively saying that she, Taylor Swift, was a jinx. And the Super Bowl.
Won't say, "Wow, she brought good luck." They'll just
My
pretend they never said
God.
it. You know, that Super Bowl. So I watched Super Bowl, and this year was really hard because prior to Super Bowl, I, of course, social media and the people I follow and some of the stuff on my news feed of what's happening in Palestine and of course the Conga and everywhere else that there's a war that I'm sitting in the comfort of, I'm going to be sitting in the comfort of my own home watching a football game. Like how like disassociated
Right.
am I from it? Like I struggled with that in all honesty. I struggled with it and I had it on and I kept thinking out through the whole game. And a couple things that came up from the game. One of I think there was a Israel or pro-Israel sponsored ad. And then all the fucking Jesus conversation that, the $18 million
Good
spent
God.
on advertising.
Good God.
But I can't believe the thought that how ironic it is that spending money to advertise. I think Hobby Lobby was participating. Wasn't the CEO of Hobby Lobby somebody that funded that, spent, gave
Yeah,
money to that?
it's these very conservative right-wing billionaires who are Donald Trump supporters, and they're just people that think that their religion, not just Christianity, but their version of Christianity, is what should rule America. We should be a theocracy governed by the laws of how they believe we should live according to their understanding of the Bible. Like, it's those people. Like, that's who's funding that stuff. Like, they don't care about women's rights, or they don't care about feeding the poor, or they don't care about funding
Gun
public
violence,
schools,
yeah.
or yeah, it, none of
Gun
that.
violence.
Yeah, they don't, none of that. They just want to rule over the rest of us. And so they promote this stuff, You know, that's why there was a different commercial. Yes, yeah, the Hobby Lobby people. The same people, Hobby Lobby, who were charged and fined by the Justice Department for going over to Iran and Iraq and stealing artifacts.
God.
Jesus,
Oh
like
God.
literally Jesus
Yeah.
Christ, like what are
What
you
was that
doing?
commercial supposed to get us to do? Doritos advertises because they want you to buy Doritos. But what did this commercial, what was the intent of this commercial? What was it to get us to do?
It's so insidious that it like in theory, like if you go all the way back to like why churches, what's the word? It's called proselytize. Like why does a Christian come to you and say, I want you to believe what I believe? Like why do they do that? Because they have taken part of the New Testament, you know, I don't even think it's Jesus. I think it's like Paul. Like after Jesus' death, like so, like hundreds of years later, saying, "Go out and tell the world, right, the good news of Jesus Christ or something like
Wash
that."
people's feet.
Yeah, this kind of thing, like go tell people, which is different from go tell people and convert them. Like we want you to believe like I believe, because if you just mind your own business, if they just mind their own business, okay. But these people are, their belief is that they should. Government should be under them, and that they should be over government, and they should tell government how to create laws, and those laws should only be based on their interpretation of the Bible. So a lot of this stuff you see in a lot of these right-wing states fall under that. It's, you know, no, they don't believe in legalized marijuana. You know, all of our drinking laws are based on it. All of our they don't believe in any premarital sex. They don't believe in homosexuality or anything within outside of one man, one woman being married at a young age, and then that woman giving birth to just have babies, don't work, and just stay home. Like that's what they believe. They want everybody to live like that, and it's so they promote these commercials to get you to go to the websites to see this stuff and to make you comfortable with, you know, the way they want to run government. Like abortions are legal and any type of what they call basically a sin, you know, against what they believe should be harshly punished. And the punishment should be according to their belief in God. And men should only be in charge, not women. It's just like a bunch of that bullshit, man. And they just push that shit on people.
And
But
they
you know what? They
send
try to
it.
pass laws with that stuff. And you know,
Yeah, they do.
some of our most deeply ingrained laws are from them. Like, for example, we've talked about this before. For example, married people in America get more tax benefits than single people.
Right.
That's because of Christians. They believe what they call the sanctity of marriage, and marriage is, you know, is more desired than being single. So they write it into our laws that if you're married, you have more tax benefits. That's crazy, huh?
It's insane. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, this isn't the, I don't know where we're going or how even the thought of being able to put an advertisement about a religion on the Super Bowl, which to your point that you just said it, like drive them to the website and then
Right.
see and start and maybe start converting some people, donation, you know, because again, they can afford it since they aren't paying any taxes. So, but the best commercial I thought was really, and I hate to say it, man, because, you know, she's, from what I understand, is not the, she's sort of a diva, but the J-Lo and Ben Affleck commercial
It was
was
funny.
really good. It was funny, but Beyonce, that one took it. That was the best. Beyonce's commercial, I think, was the best Super Bowl commercial.
It was really good. Like
It
you
was
never
so
really get to
good.
see Beyonce cut loose, but that was a really good, that's a Verizon commercial. Somebody said Beyonce had Verizon in her commercial. Like it was like totally turned around, right? That was funny. And that Ben Affleck one was very funny. Like J-Lo,
Was good.
yeah.
She was good in that, and I like her song. The I think it's called Carriages, maybe the newest one, or not
Yeah.
Texas. We're not in Texas anymore because she's originally from Texas, if I'm
Yeah,
not
she's from Houston,
mistaken,
a
right?
country girl. And you know, she's done country before. in her different albums. Like she's been doing a little bit of country for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And
well, we know country music is established, the Black community established and started country music.
Yes, yes. And you know what? And it's so funny because there are a lot of Black country artists now. And like our parents and grandparents loved like Charlie Pride, you know. But not only that, Black people love country music, like Dolly, you know,
Carrie Underwood, Travis Tritt.
Oh man, yeah. And if you go back to like, you know,
Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, because my grandparents sat and watched. My grandparents watched Hee Haw every week. They love this stuff. They love this stuff, and there are, you know, it's American art, and Black people didn't leave country. Country went to just mostly white guys, like the Dixie Chicks had to fight for airtime for their music because the radio stations just went totally just, we're just going to play the guys. Which, look, you have some really great country artists out there, and it's taken a while. They go through ebbs and flows, but they even right now, most country radio, I think I saw something a few months ago that something like 75% of the rotation are songs from men.
Wow. Yeah.
And you have that's all about these, right. Yeah, you have all these women singers and they fight to get airplay. So Beyonce is like, look, I'm from the South and I grew up in country music. I love country music. So I'm going to make a country music album. And you know what? Those two songs she released, they went to number one on iTunes, just like that.
Just like that. She's like, you know what? If I'm not going to get a Grammy the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to get it in country music.
Yeah. And you know, it's just goddamn music. Like there aren't any rules for what you can and cannot make. And if people don't like it, then they just won't like it. But generally, Beyonce makes good music. But I said, look, if Keith Urban from Australia can sing country music and Shania Twain from Canada, why can't a Black girl from the South? Like, good God.
I forgot about Shania Twain being Canadian. How did you think the Super Bowl halftime show was? What were your thoughts on that?
So, I had a long discussion with my fiance, Eliane, because she is a giant Usher fan.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I like Usher, but I'm generally not a guy, a man singer. You know, the guy that's going to be crooning and that kind of deal, that's not for me. He sings for me, which that's his audience. And I thought his show was good. Like, I thought, you know what? He changed costumes a bunch of times. He was in roller skates. And I looked it up because he does that in his Las Vegas show, right? So he's been in residence in Las Vegas for a couple of years, earning, you know, hundreds of millions because it's so, I think what I read, his two different shows he's had there for the past 5 years or whatever it's been, he sold out 90% of the tickets. And he basically brought that show to the stage and his guests, including her on guitar, who's from Oakland, by the way, and Ludacris with his big shoes, you know, doing his thing. Lil Wayne, I think, going to a movie.
Lil Wayne turned down for what? Yep.
Yeah, that and you know what? I thought it was good.
You know, I saw Usher. So there was a talk show that was in the, I would say, 80s, maybe. 80s was Jenny Jones. Do you remember Jenny Jones?
Yes.
And Usher was a guest on her show. She's like, here's an up-and-coming artist in Chicago. I think Jenny was a Chicago show. And he was performing on that. And I was like, oh, that kid's pretty good. But yeah, who didn't know? I have a friend that Usher is like her ride or die. She went to the Las Vegas show. He's coming in Oakland, I think, in September. So get tickets for your wife.
We that's a good idea. We may go to that because we were in Vegas last summer. She was like, oh, Usher, I want to go see the Usher show. And I was like, I don't want to see the Usher. Like, that ain't for me. Go with your girlfriend.
I don't want to see him taking off his shirt.
Right. He was, man, that guy was doing his thing. Like, he was doing, and you know what? You know what's funny, Jim? Like the halftime show, the league and the networks, they don't care if football fans like it or not. The halftime show is not for the football fans. They don't care. Right? Because football fans, you get the game.
Yep.
So they don't care about what you like for halftime because that entertainment is for the other 100 million people that's watching the show.
Right. That don't normally watch football.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yep, yep. And so that's why, you know, you look at it, they just go through they just go through the world's pop stars, right? They just go through one after another. They did J-Lo and Shakira a couple of years ago. You know, they just go
Lady Gaga was good.
Yeah, Lady Gaga. It's nice. And you just get a free concert. Everybody get to see, you know, you just get the greatest hits out of somebody. And it's 15 minutes and then they're gone.
And loved it.
Yeah, it was good. I think they did that. I think he did that little stint very well. And it was fun to see all the celebrities there. Although, did you see this little TikTok video going around of, Jeff Goldblum was there.
Oh.
And because he did one of the commercials. And there was they came back from break and they were showing famous people in the audience, in the stands. And they showed Jeff Goldblum. They were showing it in the stadium as well. And so, just like you do in these sports stadiums, the camera's on them. Then they look up and see themselves on the big board and they wave.
Yeah.
Well, somebody slowed it down because on the TV view of Jeff Goldblum, if you look above, it's looking at one of the luxury boxes where Leo DiCaprio is.
Oh.
And it looks like, as someone said, there was a blizzard in his box.
No.
There was white stuff going around. And it looked like some of that white stuff was going in Leo's nose.
Shut up. I didn't see that because Leo is in Sacramento filming a movie. I think
he is out here. That's right. So, okay, if I find it, I'll find the video because I need to
see that.
Yeah, but and because it popped up on TikTok, but now it's floating around on Twitter and it's like it's slow motion and all this.
Internet is savage, man. It's like they came out with those memes about the Jesus commercials before the commercial ended.
I saw some conservative people mad about, like, you know, the other commercial. It wasn't the Jesus people, but it was a version of it where they saw Jesus washing people's feet, or not Jesus, but, and so one conservative person was like, what do they think? Are we supposed to be washing these people's feet now? And people are pointing out the fact that literally that's what Jesus did. Like, it's so funny how much about the actual acts and words of Jesus these conservative religious people they have no idea. None. They have no idea. I'm like, yeah, you skate, come wash my feet. Come wash my feet.
It's similar to a friend of mine sent me a video where this woman said, you know, she's eating a cucumber and she says, you know, the one vegetable, why haven't they pickled cucumbers?
I just be saying them out loud. I'm stupid. Oh, God.
But yeah, the internet is a savage. I don't, like, legitimately, I don't want to post anything that's up for any sort of commentary that's going to make me feel insecure because the internet will make sure that it attacks that.
So no, they'll rip me to shreds. Okay, look, so at the Super Bowl, what about, I'm trying to think of something some people were upset about was that the Super Bowl, for the last few years, the Super Bowl, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, the Super Bowl started. They also sing what we call the Black National Anthem. The song is called Lift Every Voice and Sing. Yes. So you have the Star-Spangled Banner. There's always some celebrity singer who sings that. Who sang the National Anthem this year? I don't even remember.
Reba McEntire?
Oh, Reba. Yeah, I love Reba. Yeah. And you know, and she nailed it. It was great. Because Reba doesn't have an overpowering voice.
Nope.
But clearly she knows how to sing.
Yes.
And I can't think of the young Black woman's name who sang Let Their Voices Sing. And where this comes from is the Super Bowl is in Black History Month. And the league is 60% Black. So the league decided, you know what, we need to do something to honor it. So they just make it very simple. And so some people say, well, why do we have two national anthems? And it's just one of those things, Jim, where because American education is just generally so poor, mm-hmm. that things that have been around for 125 years.
Not two.
People wake up and go, what? Where did this come from? Well, very, very. So a song written by James Weldon. He was a poet. And he was born in 1897. And his parents were from, I think, the Haiti, and then from the Bahamas, and then to Florida, and then to New York. And he was a poet, and they were part of the early Harlem Renaissance and everything. So he and his brother, you know, they were just, you know, poets and musicians and this kind of stuff. But anyway, their organization there was getting a visit from Booker T. Washington, a famous black man, inventor, scientist, farmer. They were coming to visit. He was coming to visit in New York, and so he had written this poem, and they decided to set this poem to music. And as part of the welcome to Booker T. Washington, they got 500 children to sing that song,
Ooh.
and it's called "Lift Every Voice and Sing." That's the name of the song. And eventually, James Weldon Johnson became a member of the NAACP and did a lot of work with them. And they officially adopted that as the Black National Anthem. And because this is America, now there's always a lot of pieces and components to that. That Black people were not allowed to sing the national anthem. It's always something. Like, it's always something, because we were not considered true Americans. So, but you know, our national, that the Star Spangled Banner is based off a song that a guy, an English guy, wrote, you know, in England. And then we converted it over here, and it's about a particular battle and everything. But that song, from 1895 or something like that, that was not decided upon by Congress to be the what we call a national anthem until the 1930s, right? And so that song, I think, was the Star Spangled Banner, was with the new lyrics and stuff to the tune and everything, was I want to say 1895 or something like that, 1897 or something like that. And "Lift Every Voice and Sing" was written in 1901. They're about the same age. Right. And Black people adopted that after the NAACP adopted, because it was something that when we were told we couldn't sing this other song, you know, and we didn't particularly like that other song. And most Americans don't know that "Star Spangled Banner" has four stanzas or whatever they're called to it. And that third one, because really our national anthem, we only sing that first part. But the third one talks about slavery, killing slaves. And, you know, Black people are like, we've never identified with that song because that song has not represented us. It's a very awful song, right? So we always we went to "Let Every Voice Sing." And as a child, we sang this in our churches. Like, this was normal. This was a normal day. I've known this song my whole life, right? But many, because our nation is so divided in so many ways in our cultures, it doesn't get outside the culture, right? And so until recently, you know, 5, 10 years, whatever it's been in the Super Bowl, it gets out. And every year we have these same type discussions, like, why is this song? Why don't we have a white national anthem? You know, people start saying this kind of deal. And then people start saying, well, have you ever sang the entire song, the third verse? Have you ever got to that yet? When you talk about killing slaves and stuff like that. So it's because we have just a national, we just have our history in a closet, you know, and people just refuse to deal with it. But I personally think that that song, "Lift Every Voice and Sing," which is very aspirational, right? It's very aspirational. We've made it, you know, let's look towards the future, blah, blah, blah. That song, coupled with "America the Beautiful," are two really good anthems for this country. Because "America the Beautiful" is about, it's "America the Beautiful," about earth, about the land, about just, you know, celebrating how beautiful it is and maintaining it. And "Lift Every Voice and Sing" is about, you know, trying to look towards the future of people being together and just singing, you know, in celebration. Whereas the Star Spangled Banner is about one little battle in a war, and it's bombs and rockets. It's like, what the fuck? And killing slaves. Like, what? Let's leave that behind. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would choose those other two
Over
versus the
that,
other one.
for
Yeah.
sure.
Because they're both nice songs. And "America Beautiful." Have you ever heard Ray Charles sing "America the Beautiful"? It's incredible. It's a wonderful song. So anyway, so yeah, that happened at the Super Bowl. So we had that as well. That always pops up. And then, of course, we had the game. We had Patrick Mahomes winning another Super Bowl.
I mean, incredible to just to think at that age. You know, I watch these games and I think about these. guys are in their 20s, maybe early 30s, and they're on this big spotlight playing a game that they love, right? All while trying to win it. It's just incredible to think about how parents must feel. Sometimes I always think about like how a parent must feel watching their son get on the national stage and play a Super Bowl. Because really, how many players
Right.
is that? It's not a ton. It's a very small percentage of men that make it there.
Yeah,
And
very, very small.
I can't even imagine how a parent feels, but
You know what, sir? That kid, that young man that caught the game-winning touchdown. I can't think of his name right now, but he caught the game-winning touchdown. So it was in overtime. 49ers got a field goal, then Kansas City drove up the field, and with time ticking down, they scored a touchdown to win the game. It was like a 10, 12-yard pass. It wasn't a short pass. But that young man that caught the ball, they interviewed him after the game. And they said, "Well, what were you thinking, for the ball?" He said, "Let me tell you something. When I caught the ball, I blacked out." He said, I blacked out." And I thought about that. It's just what you were just saying. It was so overwhelming, right? Like his whole life, his parents, 100, the most viewed Super Bowl in history, 126 million viewers, sold out stadium. It's the overtime game-winning catch touchdown. And he said that ball came to his hands. He said he blacked out.
He was gone. He left his body.
Yeah, he said, "I'll look at the film to see what I did. I have no idea. Like my mind was gone." I just thought, it's what you just said. I bet his parents felt the same.
Probably like, did my son? I think it was Mecole Hardman.
Yes,
Hardman. Yeah.
yes. And as my partner LN's may notice, he's from Puerto Rico. She was like,
My peeps.
yes. I sort of enjoy it. I like when people do stuff and then they have like a segment of society that is in particular rooting for them for a reason, other than the
Yes.
team, and then people just get juiced over it. Yeah,
Yeah,
my man said he blacked out. So yeah, and Patrick Mahomes has now won three Super Bowls. Yeah, he's been to four. He's won three, and he's won these two back to back. And he's in his 20s,
know.
and people are saying now that his trajectory is, he could be the greatest quarterback of all time. Like he is in that discussion. That's wild, huh?
That is in your 20s. You
In
have
your 20s.
just not even, I mean, God damn,
Right. And
20.
you know what? Because I've been following sports, a lot of different sports through the years and stuff. And I was telling this to my daughter. One of the reasons fans go crazy when their team wins a title in any sport is because it's so hard to do.
Yeah, you're
It's
right.
so hard. I mean, think of your Packers. So you saw Brett Favre win a title, and then you saw Aaron Rodgers win a title. And neither one of them could get back and do it again. They got back, but neither one could win it again.
Yep.
Right. And I'm a Raider fan. I saw the Raiders win in the 70s, the eight, and like the 80s. I think the last one they'd be watching it was 1984 when Marcus Allen was on the team. They won the Super Bowl. That was 1984.
Damn.
Right? This was we keep hearing about the Dallas Cowboys haven't won a title since 94. Like it is so hard to win a professional sports title. So for this guy Patrick Mahomes, I hate the Kansas City Chiefs, but I admire, look, they've been there, they've won three of the last five Super Bowls. That's not easy.
I wonder who. I guess I wonder like what team has never won a like have been to have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's been a few,
Like,
but
have the Bills been there? Like,
the Bills have been, but they never won one.
okay.
Yeah, they never won. And the Detroit Lions are the only original NFL team who've never even been to a Super Bowl.
God damn, they were so
They
close
were so
too.
close.
That's
Someone said they won the first half. They did. They won it.
if we stopped the game at the halftime, that would have been perfect. You know,
Oh.
It's you were saying something about how the national anthem turned into this. How did we go from the national anthem talking about bombs and rockets and slavery? Not that it's a comparison, but today is Mardi Gras Day, right? So February 13th, we recording early. And Mardi Gras was originally started for like religious season for Lent to begin, right? So Lent and start your 40 days of whatever you're giving
Yeah,
up and
leading up to Easter.
leading up to Easter. And I don't know how it went to show us your tits for beads.
Right? How did Christians go from getting their minds together leading up to Jesus' death to show me your tits?
I don't know how we got. I don't even know what in the whole. The only thing that ties back to it is like Mardi Gras was established, I think, for like fertility, the sign of fertility seed, something along those lines. I probably have to do a little bit more research. But how did we get to show what you did to collect beads? I
You
don't
know,
know, but.
you know what? In a prior life of mine, I think I was with MCI, but I went to an award ceremony in New Orleans
Oh,
for
sure.
New Year's. Oh, I know what it was. I won a trip to go to in New Orleans. In college football, they have the I think it's the Cotton Bowl or some kind of bowl game is there. I don't know
I
what
think it is
but
a combo. You might be right.
something like that. So I won tickets to that. A bunch of us went and we were staying in New Orleans and it was for New Year's. It was a New Year's Day bowl. So on New Year's Eve, we were in New Orleans and we were on Bourbon Street at one of the hotels upstairs. And the company gave us beads to throw at people to get women to show their tits.
We go get ready for Lent? Show us your
The
boobs.
problem provided the beads. Oh my
Don't get it.
God. And I was like, well, what are these sweaters? Well, you throw them at people, and women, and they'll show you their boobs. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh yeah, they're revelers and everything. You go out on the balcony, you throw them. And people are like below saying, throw me your beads, throw me your beads. And people above were saying, show your tits, show your tits. And you throw the beads, and women were, and not just men too, but mostly women, they're flashing you. Like, and I just thought, I know Jesus died for something, but I'm not sure this was exactly it.
It? I don't think he had this in mind when he said, "Bring me back to life."
He went a long way from washing feet to showing your tits.
He's sitting there thinking, how did I shift this? How did we go from I
We don't
feed
eat
you with
clear.
one loaf of
Look,
bread?
we don't eat clear instructions to your employees when you leave. Like, this is what happens. They
God.
Oh,
Oh, sir. Okay,
yes.
so Super Bowl we watched. What else have you been watching?
So, I started watching the show on Netflix called Griselda with
Oh.
Sofia Vergara.
Okay.
And
Oh,
so she,
Griselda. Okay.
yes, she is playing, it's a limited series, so just a one-shot deal. And she is playing a famous Colombian drug lord lady. Griselda was her name. She was like prominent back in the I guess late 70s and 80s, and she was known, to the drug cartels at like she was one of the like most brutal. Like she had her own little regime. And just a little side note for this. Apparently, one of her sons spoke up and said, "Then this is Sofia Vergara, right? She's like gorgeous,
Yeah,
and
flawless.
she's tamed down for the movie, like to make her a little rough and everything. But
Like
she's still,
Charlize Theron from Monster.
yes,
Yeah, okay.
right. But you see her, you go, okay, but you're still good looking, Sofia Vergara,
Exactly. Nice try, lady.
right? You know, playing with her body, and so the real Griselda's son spoke up and said he was mad that Sofia Vergara was playing his mother and his makeup and everything because his mother was gorgeous and she was known as, the porcelain doll and all this kind of stuff. Well, TikTok and internet being what it is, they started
See?
posting that lady's photos.
See?
And people are like, we all love our mothers. Our mother were the most beautiful people in the world to have man.
Oh my God.
Of a guy, right? Like, oh guys. Like you said, the internet is crazy, man.
Internet is savage. If you want a dose of reality, man, nothing hits you harder than a keyboard warrior.
That's exactly right. So I'm watching that. I'm watching that's on Netflix, and I'm watching on Prime, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and it's with Danny
Glover.
Yes, and the lady Maya. I can't think of her last name, but it's a series. It's based off that movie that, speaking of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, that they did, and they were a married couple, and they didn't know that each other was an assassin or something like that.
Yes.
So the series is sort of a comedy thriller, and it's way better than I thought it was going to be. It's very Real. Good. Okay. Yes, it is very good. So I'm watching that on Prime, and I think, wait a minute, there's something I want you to, oh, True Detective. I'm an episode behind on True Detective, and that's on HBO.
Yep.
And then on Paramount Plus, the Showtime add-on, I am now on to episode 3 of Yellow Jackets.
Oh, okay. Of season 1.
Season 1. Oh, yes, season 1. And it's very good. Like, I was a little skeptical at first, like, what's happening? But then I was like, oh, this is getting good. And so, yes, I'm enjoying that. And then also, I just started on Paramount Plus, The Curse. I mentioned that last time. I still can't remember that lady's name. She looks like Amanda Seyfried, but I think it's a different Amanda Seyfried. So,
okay.
I'm going to look that up while we're on there. What's that lady's name? The Curse. When I say her name, you're going to go, oh, her. The Curse. Oh, it's called The Curse. And so it's like a documentary, but it's funny, and it stars, oh, here she is. What is her name? She talks with a lisp. Where's her name? Don't show her name. Oh, here it is, cast. Emma Stone.
Oh, okay.
I said Amanda Seyfried.
Again, we don't all look the
Oh my God. I never swore that was her, but this is Emma Stone.
Is it a scripted show or is it a movie?
It's a series. It's listed under comedy, drama, and essentially she and her husband are like do-good kind of people, and they're in this little town making a documentary about how they are helping people in this little town. And like a home renovation kind of people.
Got it.
But they you know, do-gooders doing this home renovation kind of stuff. But it's sort of a sham. And then something happens that leads to what's called the curse. And then it's just their mishaps, how everything just goes wrong. And it is sort of funny. It's very funny, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Very little, it's like a song on Paramount. It's like a little it's like a little sitcom.
Okay, that sounds good. I like Emma Stone.
She's pretty. I didn't know she was funny, but she's pretty funny.
Yeah, she's good friends with Jennifer Lawrence, and they're like funny together.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that.
They've done some interviews together.
Okay, then the other thing I'm watching is I will start watching tomorrow. It's a new series on Apple. It's called Constellation.
Okay.
And it's a sci-fi series, and it's gotten great pre-reviews and stuff like this. And so I'm going to watch that because it has this actor in there. And I think if I had a favorite actor, this lady would be one of my favorites. She'd be in like my top five.
Oh.
And her name is, I don't know her name. Her name is Nomi Rapace or something like that.
Oh.
Let me see. There it is. It's Noomi. Noomirapace.
Isn't she like some Swedish actress or something?
I think she's Swedish. Yeah, let me see what it is.
What has she been Sweden. In?
She's been in, okay, let me see. Okay. You're going to know some of her movies. So she was in What Happened to Monday on Netflix, which is really good. It's called What Happened to Monday. That's a great thriller. It's a movie. It's a thriller. She was in the Alien movie, Prometheus. and Alien Covenant. She has some action movies called Unlocked, Black Crap, all really good. I think the one you will remember is she was the girl, the movie called The Girl Who Played with Fire, The Girl in the Spider's Web, or something like that.
Who
No, The
played
Girl
with
with the Dragon Tattoo.
tattoo? Was she the girl with the dragon tattoo?
That's her, yes. Yeah,
Oh.
she played that role, and then the backup role, the girl who played with fire. Just she's in a lot of good movies, and she's sort of like an action star, and she's pretty good. She's pretty
I don't
she's
know if I saw her in public that I would know she was an actress.
right. She just looks sort of like nondescript, but she's always really good. Like
Wow.
everything I watched, I go really, I really enjoyed this. So if you ever want a good thriller, a violent, just a bonkers violent thriller, the movie called Whatever Happened to Monday.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It is like, holy hell, what is happening here? But anyway, it's very, so she did a new series on Apple. It starts Wednesday. It's called Constellation. And so that's my new little thing I'll be hooked on.
Dang. Okay. You'll have to let me know how that is.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the last one. Abbott Elementary started up again, so I'm watching
Oh,
that.
it did?
Yes. The first episode, 1 hour episode, it is hilarious.
Oh my God. What? Okay. What day of the week is it on? So Mondays?
I think it is on Mondays and it's on ABC, but I always watch it on Hulu. So
I have to go on Hulu. Okay.
yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I'll watch that tonight then. Okay, so I am watching, you already mentioned it, True Detective with Jodie Foster. So there's only one
Yes.
more episode. So
Oh, okay.
this season is less episodes than the other seasons.
Okay.
So there's only six. So next Sunday it'll be the finale, I believe. And then I am watching Capote and the Swans.
Oh,
So
yes.
yeah, this is about Truman Capote. He was a writer. He wrote books. He wrote plays. I don't think he's no longer on this planet. A gay man who found his way in a high society of socialites in the 60s and 70s. So
Okay.
the cast is really good. Marlene Ringwald, Calista Flockhart,
Really?
Naomi Watts, Diane Lane, Demi Moore. So good cast. And the guy who plays, I don't know the actor's name, but what I did is he has this really funny voice. So I went to listen to some old clips on YouTube of Truman Capote. And this actor is hitting it on the head with his voice, like
Really?
high pitched, a little feminine, but more so the tone. So really, really good. There's only three episodes thus far. So the series just started. I also started watching Never Before Dark, I think it's called. It is on Apple TV.
Okay.
It is Home Before Dark. Home Before Dark. It is about a family that moves back to this small town where the father grew up. The little girl in there is 8 years old, and she's like this detective who doesn't, she's a journalist who
Oh, I
doesn't think
saw
that.
that.
Yeah, who doesn't think that the murder that happened in the hometown was an actual accident. So she starts to do like some investigative reporting. It's actually really good, and the little actress is really good. So
Oh, and
I'm
that's on
enjoying it.
Apple?
Yeah, that's on Apple.
Oh, I can
So
look that up.
that was 2020, and I think season two just came out because my nephews were here on Saturday and he started playing it, and I was like, I don't want to watch some kid movie. He's like, actually, it's pretty good. And I watched the first episode and I thought, okay, I have to finish this now. I really like where the story is. I kind of like how this 8-year-old is a smart journalist who takes after her father, who's also a journalist.
Okay,
So
okay.
really good show. We are watching The Traitor, which is really good. I will tell you this
Oh,
funny
the trainer's
story.
good. Yeah.
So our good friend Peg, also known as Margaret, she has a husband who I call Tech God, because he fixes anything tech, right? So he's watching it and he sends me a message and he says, "You know what really pisses me off about The Traitor?" And I was like, "The host?" Because that was my only that he's
Alec
like
Cummings is the host.
he's he said, "No, Scotland does not have any wolves." So he's sick of seeing the wolves before,
Right, the
like,
little scene they show the wolves.
yeah.
That is amazing.
So he's So,
right, why would they do that?
why did you do that? And he's like, there's no wolves in Scotland. So he said that a lot of predatorial animals aren't really seen as like in England, but he knows from going to from Scotland. So I thought that was cool, but I'm really
That's
enjoying
great.
that. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, of course, The Real Housewives of Miami, and then Vanderpump Rules started. I think they're really trying to make it relevant. It's okay. I'm not
Yes,
like
yes.
obsessed
Yeah,
with
they're not
it.
there yet.
Yeah, they're not there yet, but I'm watching it anyways because that's just what I'm gonna do. And then I finished all 5 seasons of Fargo. So I've watched every
Yes.
this season. So most people, if you don't know, it stars Jon Hamm and then I like to say Keeley from Ted Lasso. So I'm not sure of what her name is, but Keeley from Ted Lasso is the woman in this show. There was no overlap from the other seasons in
Oh,
this.
that is the lady from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I just realized it. I love that lady. That lady is funny.
She was so good in their Minnesota accents again, but I'll tell you, in most seasons there was some overlap. So if I'm missing it, I did not see any little piece of any of the other Fargos in this season's Fargo. So if I
Right.
missed
No,
it,
you
tell
know what?
me.
I think you're right. I think this was completely different.
Because I was fresh, because I watched all
Right.
four seasons that started in 2014. So I would have been able to catch something that came
Right,
in this
right. You're
last
right. So
season.
this one was just a completely standalone, huh?
Standalone. So it was really, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I have to get on. I'm still waiting for X-Pac to finish on Amazon Prime. And you know, where the hell is The Boys? I thought that was supposed to
I
be back.
know. It's been like 10 years. Like, what are they doing?
God, who do they think they are? Game of Thrones?
It's the worst. You know what? I would also recommend if you ever want to watch a movie. I know you don't watch a lot of movies, but The Marvels is on Disney Plus and it's really good.
I saw that pop up. I
Yeah,
will
it's really
say,
good.
if you are not watching the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I cannot be your friend because it
Okay.
is top-notch, top five comedies ever made. I'm telling you, Curb Your Enthusiasm will make you laugh out loud. You'll be thinking about it the next day. And most importantly, you want to be on the show because everything is ad-lib. All they do is give you a framework of what the
Yeah,
episode's
that's
going
the
to be about,
best.
and everything is ad-lib. Like to have that comedic timing and come up with shit so fast on a show like that is incredible. And I'm telling you, that first episode fucking killed me.
Okay.
It's so good. It's the final season. So this is their 12th and final season, which makes me really sad, but
And
you
they're
just
short
have to get
seasons.
through
Like,
it.
it's not like a regular sitcom. There's not
No.
like 20 episodes or anything
Nope.
like that. They're
Like
short
10
seasons.
maybe.
Yeah, they're easy to
Sure.
watch. So I'm behind. Like I need to finish last season and I'll pop in. So I'll try to do it when you're on vacation because you're going on vacation, yeah?
I'm leaving for Costa Rica on Saturday.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you'll forget.
Whoa. Whoa.
On Sunday, you'll send me a text and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm at
Are you guys doing like American kind of stuff like zip lining and going up to the mine?
Yes.
Isn't there a pyramid there or something like that?
No,
Okay.
that's like that would be Cancun.
Well, zip lining is fine. Okay, so but the rest is just like beach and pool time,
Deep, yeah, zip lining, pool
huh?
time in Echo Park, a catamaran ride,
Oh, that's
a
nice.
birthday dinner because it's sort of like a birthday vacation for me. So five of my girlfriends are going, and we'll do like one night out where we get dressed up, but we're gonna do a release ceremony, like, hey, you want to get rid of something, throw some, flowers in the ocean, sort
Oh,
of
very
release it.
nice.
Yeah, I think it's my first time, of course, in Central America, but like it's been a while since I've been out other than Mexico and
Right.
since COVID. Because right before COVID, I went to Brazil and like 3 weeks later, we were shut down. So I
Oh,
haven't
I remember
explored
that.
outside of Mexico.
Hey, so did you have to get your vaccinations and that kind of stuff still to get out of the
I had
country?
most of them. You don't have to have them to go there, but I did go and say, hey, whatever I need, just give it to me.
Okay.
Like,
You know what? That's
I
fine. Just give me all the shots.
I do not want to be that one coming back with yellow fever.
Right? And I look, every anti-vaxxer that don't want the shot, give me the shot.
Yeah, exactly. I have a leg you can put it in. I don't care where you put it.
Okay, so you fly, you said Sunday?
So yeah, we get to the airport on Saturday, but we leave on Sunday.
Okay, are you flying out of San Francisco?
Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Yeah, thank God.
Whoa. So, wait a minute.
Sacramento to Miami, and then Miami to Liberia, Costa Rica.
Oh, that's a long flight.
Yeah, 5 hours to Miami. The what makes it long is we have a 3 hour layover in Miami.
Okay. Like, what do you do on the plane? Do you have like some movies you're gonna watch on your phone or something like that?
Probably read. It
Yeah.
is going to be like midnight, so maybe I'll try to sleep a little bit.
Okay. That helps.
Yeah, so it'll be
Wow.
good. I'll have something to talk about when we get back. So you're going to have, is your partner going to join you for recording for our 95th episode next
Oh,
week?
I'm gonna see if I can get her. Did you know that every time that it's me going solo, I also ask my daughter every time.
You do, and she says no.
She barely says the word no. It's just like, and just it's nothing. She'll give me nothing. So I don't know. So but I will ask Ellie, and I think she'll do it because it's like, she's a pro. We could talk like some wedding stuff. And she, oh, wait a minute. She may be gone too because she has a bachelorette party in New York. She leaves Friday, I think, or
Okay,
Saturday.
this Friday?
She leaves on the night of the 22nd. So next Wednesday.
Okay.
She leaves the night of the
So she might
22nd.
not want
So,
to do it.
right. So, yeah. So, anyway, I'll sort it out. I'll sort
Okay.
it out. Actually, no, because I do want to do it before she leaves because she's the producer, so she puts it all together and gets it all ready to distribute and everything. So I'll probably end up doing it next Tuesday is what I'm
Okay.
guessing. Yeah. Hey, no,
I think
go
it's important that our audience just heard that we have a producer.
ahead. I know, right? We see red tape, but we actually are legit.
We might sometimes might not have really good internet, but we still have a producer. Oh,
Yep.
sir, it's always been fun. This is a good show, good extensive talk. We have okay, so next week, well, I won't be here, but the week after, we got to get our politics talking because
Perfect.
there's a lot of that spam bullshit you reminded me today,
Yep.
posting on Biden's post, and
We'll talk that. We're
I
going to have
want
some Trump trial stuff. We
yep.
have more primaries happening because Biden has swept. I mean, of course, he swept the first few, and we'll have another couple. And then we have our California primary coming up. So we'll go through we're picking a new senator. And then we have just other stuff floating around California and in our city. So we'll talk about that stuff. And yeah, so we'll do that. So to our audience, happy Valentine's Day to our audience. That's
Yes.
this week. And Jen, have a great trip. And to everyone else, hey, rate us, share us, review us, and send us some questions and stuff. We love hearing from you.
Love it. Always love you, sir.
I love you. See
Bye.
ya.
Love this podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.